Tell me this. I'm going to start with you, Vicky. Do you believe that there is an active disinformation campaign on the part of the government and that these are examples of such a campaign?
Well, that's such a tough question, and I'll tell you why. I do believe that there have been, when times of major leaks that have scared the military. I think the AFOSI has had subtle but very directed disinformation campaigns. I don't think it goes on all the time. I think that the Flake City fringe element can take the ball and run with it too often so that they don't have to do a whole lot of work with disinformation. But I can tell you, those many things have really flowed through the field, such as the MJ-12 papers, that are highly inflammatory or controversial, but at the same time, certainly questionable. And I can see the entire field of ufology all of a sudden focusing on that. It would be so simple to have a disinformation program where they turn the ufologists away from the real facts. Roswell, I used to think for a long time, was fed as a disinformation case because it took the attention away from any cases that were happening in the here and now, which basically could be covering R&D. The Air Force does not. Well, you should know by now, George, with Nellis Air Force Base. I mean, there's if they don't want you to know anything, they're not going to even say that the place exists, and they will do everything they can to make sure that the eyes don't go where they're supposed to go. Now,
well, they did that for years with 51, Area 51.
Right, exactly. That's what I meant when I said Nellis. And as it stands with this post 9/11 world and the screw ups that are happening over and over again, it's very difficult to know what's going on. When it comes to disinformation, it's the Soviets that started the whole program, and I think that probably America has learned from them. And they are really good at long term, not taking it in the short term, but long term twisting of any information that they don't want the public to have.
Don, do you think that UFO Magazine has been used to spread disinformation? Have they taken a run at you guys?
Not to my knowledge. We have run, you know, some very provocative articles in the magazine over the years.
Don, I have to say, I have to break in here and say, without question, we've probably had disinformation in that magazine.
Well, now, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's not what I'm saying. Have we later on found out that we were fed disinformation, or have we ever encountered somebody coming at us head on? Years ago, we used to get a lot of phone calls, and we would call them sweepers, vacuum sweepers.
We did get a lot of those, that's right.
And people would call up, and they would be asking us all sorts of questions about articles, about that we had run, about people that had been in the magazine, people that we knew, and it didn't take very long, you know, to figure out that, well, what the hell is it your business anyway? You know, if you want to know what we're doing, buy the magazine.
I mean, we've never done anything, as far as I know, that has in any way threatened the national security apparatus in this country, except for the fact that we've addressed UFOs. But there's such a ring of disinformation, if you will, or lunatic fringiness, whatever. There's an automatic ridicule around
but
the subject.
There's one other thing that you really have to look at, and that is why? Why? Simply why would they want to keep something as extraordinary as the possibility of visitation to this planet?
I'll tell you, I want to hold that.
That's something I hope we get to, because that's a really important question, Don.
True.
That's in our next hour. We're going to get to that. I promise you. We're going to take some time on that one. I just before we leave disinformation, Bill, I want to ask you, because you've written about Roswell, written a book about it, the crash dummies. They're a ridiculous excuse that the newspapers printed all over the country. The weather balloon explanation. Would you characterize that as disinformation on the part of the government?
Absolutely. I mean, here's a case where if you listen to Walter Hout, the late Walter Hout, tell his story. He was the public information officer at the Roswell Army Air Force Base. He says straight out there was no cover-up. Blanchard called him into his office. Blanchard said, here's what we got. It was a flying disc. He didn't say balloon. You think a commander of an Army Air Force Base couldn't tell a weather balloon? Come on. We got a flying disc out there, a flying saucer out there in the desert. You go tell the newspapers what we had. How goes to the newspaper, tells them what they had, the stuff goes up, Roger Ramey is all set to make the announcement, gets a phone call from Washington, comes back, does a switcheroo, puts the stuff out there, and there's Jesse Marcel sitting in front of a weather balloon. Now, Jesse Marcel's son, Jesse Jr., is coming out with a book. The book's written. Read the first version of the manuscript, and I can tell you, Jesse Marcel Jr. says absolutely no balloon. Now, the Army covered it up. They didn't want anybody to know that they'd gotten a flying saucer. Same thing with the Mantell case, right? It was a balloon. It was a balloon. Mantell, Thomas Mantell, went up to track some object, went too high, lost his oxygen, crashed. Was it a shoot-down? Did he crash? The Army said, no, this was a balloon. The guy was confused, loss of oxygen, couldn't do it. The magazine interviewed Phyllis Painter, whose husband was in the control tower at Godman on that very day. Phyllis Painter was there. She knew what a balloon was, and she said, this was no balloon. Again, it was totally disinformation. The government, the military, does not want us to know. There's a reason they don't. I think it's a really important subject because it is a mind blower when you realize why they don't want us to know.